Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Tanisha, and if you're a fan of Wine School Dropout, there's another podcast we think you'll love, Pretend. Pretend is a documentary-style podcast about real people pretending to be someone else. Javier interviews real con artists, snake oil salesmen, and former cult members, anyone living a lie. Notable interviews and episodes include an identity thief who confesses to stealing thousands of identities, a former FBI undercover agent who describes how he embedded himself into a drug lord's inner circle, and the testimony of a snake oil salesman who encourages people to drink a bleach-type substance to cure everything from depression to cancer. Search for Pretend wherever you get your podcasts. This is Wine School Dropout, Study Abroad, Southern Italy. I'm Tanisha Townsend, your host. This season, we're going abroad to Italy. Southern Italy, to be precise. Think of this season as a semester abroad, Puglia, Italy. We will introduce you to the grapes, producers, foods, sights, and sounds of this region. We're taking you right there with us, introduce you to some wines and wineries, and present this region. Welcome to Season 3 of Wine School Dropout, Semester Abroad, Puglia, Italy. This week, let's talk the grapes, Italian grapes. One of the first things I learned when I started my wine studies was that wine was broken down into two categories, Old World and New World. Old World being France and Italy, New World being everywhere else. France and Italy mainly speak about their wines by region and not necessarily by grapes. So difficult. And especially Italy for me, because those were a lot of grapes I had never heard of before. A lot of Italian grapes are native to Italy. So to learn Italian wine is to learn a new set of regions and grapes to go along with it. You still with me? Good. Of course, I love Italian food. So when offered a chance to visit the southern Italian region of Puglia, to visit wineries, taste Italian wines, and judge a southern Italian wine competition, I said yes. So off to Bari, Italy, I flew for Radici del Sud, an annual wine competition and tasting event to highlight the wines of this region. This was a grand opportunity to taste Primitivo, the grape I did know, and learn more about new-to-me grapes like Nero di Troia and Bambino Bianco. I also was able to speak directly with producers from these regions and meet other wine professionals from around Europe. So, let's jump in.
While I know you love the sound of my voice, that's why you listen, right? I'm right here with the producers in Italy, so let's let them give you a few characteristics of their main grapes and why they're special. You hear about Fiano and Bambino Bianco, white grapes, then Nero di Troia, Negro Amaro, and Bambino Nero, the red grapes.
Particularity of Fiano of this area is ever the difference between night and day of temperature, and so give freshness and deepness to the glass. The Fiano in general is a wine with a lot of texture, a lot of complexity, a lot of parfum, aroma. So this type of wine have a passage with barrique, with wood. And so this type of passage gives to this type of glass a lot of complexity of texture. So a lot of aromaticity in the, for the nose, and in the mouth is long and is deep. This is the type of Fiano that in this type of climate, soil, have this right balance between fat with aromaticity and the freshness and sapidity, because this type of soil have a lot of calcareous, and so this calcareous you can find in the glass. So sapidity, minerality, acidity, freshness, and complexity for the glass.
I am Giancarlo Ceci. We are in Puglia, in Andria, is near Casteldelmonte, in the farm. Now we are starting testing of Nero di Troia. This kind of grape, typical of the area that is near Casteldelmonte, in center of Puglia, is a very, very old grape. Is a grape discovered about 20 years ago as 100% wine from Nero di Troia, because in the past in Puglia was very poor number of the cellar that make wine in bottle, and then in the last 20 years increase more and more the Nero di Troia 100% in Puglia. And the characteristic of this wine is the elegance. Is not so dark, not so body, but very much elegance, very much strong color, even if it's not so dark. Strong because a very long life color. After 20 years in the bottle, still have view red color. And as well, the tannins is very important. And not easy to make soft tasting tannins. In fact, need so much time in refining in the bottles. This is the reason why now we are selling this vintage 2015 in the best cru that we have on Nero di Troia, that is a part of our terroir, our land. Is from my father dedicated. My father died in 2006. I start in 2007 to produce this kind of wine.
Giuseppe Coppola, ho il piacere di rappresentare la diciottesima generazione della famiglia Coppola che si occupa di...
This is Giuseppe Coppola, owner of Cantina Coppola. He's the 18th generation of the Coppola family to own the winery estate for wine and food tourism and experiences.
Amaro è il vitigno principale del nostro territorio, un vitigno versatile. Abbiamo sperimentato.
The main grape of the territory, Negro Amaro, is a very versatile grape. Coppola is known for experimenting with different versions of Negro Amaro, from sparkling to white to rosé, red, and pasito. They're the only winery that has been doing experiments of this kind with the style, colors, and taste.
Tutte prodotte da Negro Amaro. Nella diversa, diciamo, tipologia di...
I then asked Giuseppe what surprised him the most about his new projects. And he responded that he was most surprised by the sparkling wine made using the Champenoise method. And by vinifying the grapes as white, this has been satisfactory for them. He's very proud to be a custodian of Negro Amaro in this estate, and proud to have direct contact with guests and clients, and he wants to develop this more in the future.
La fidelizzazione del cliente attraverso la conoscenza diretta di ogni singolo cliente.
So the main characteristics of Bombino Bianco, of this kind of grape variety, is the freshness, the acidity. So it's really important, according to our philosophy and our making process, is to get the right balance between sugar, acidity, and aromas. So you have to get the right moment of picking up the grapes. Because day by day, as time goes by, you lose acidity, and you get more body and more sugar for the wines. So sometimes we argue when picking up the grapes because we want to get the acidity. And in some years we have chosen to get to pick up the grapes at the right moment of acidity rather than the sugar, although we would have known that we would have less body in the wines. This is the reason why we want to get focus on acidity.
You will drink only rosé, the Bombino Nero only in rosé. The reason why you will never drink it in red version, because this grape variety has a really poor content in anthocyanins, and so it would be a poor color in red. This is the reason why you can drink it only in rosé version.
You may already be familiar with the Primitivo grape, as they say it is the same as the Zinfandel grape. Here is Marino Palmarota of Vina Coppi telling us what's so particular about this region, the winery, and grapes. I also got a question about aging. Thought I'd share his answer on that too.
What's so particular about the DOC Gioia del Colle, especially if compared to the Primitivo di Manduria? Firstly, we are on the hills, average 350 meters above sea level. Great thermic excursion. Between day and night, you can have some days, 10 degrees at night and 30 degrees during the day. This helps build up great acidity in our wines. So they would not be as bold, as jammy as Primitivo di Manduria, as alcoholic. They will have a medium body, but a greater acidity.
About the aging potential, because a lot of people ask me about aging wine and which wines can age. Is there a potential for aging Primitivo? Can you speak a little bit to that?
Absolutely. I'll give you an example first. Our Vanitoso, which is a Primitivo Riserva, which is made in our winery only in very special years. It's a DOP Gioia del Colle Primitivo. We just finished our 2001 Riserva. And trust me, apart from the color, in which you could see a bit of orange on the sides of the glass, which clearly told us that it was an aged wine. When trying it, it was so fresh. The acidity was so clear. You could barely tell it was a 20-year-old wine. Why is this? I mean, in order for a wine to age, there are some aspects that need to be taken into account. First is alcohol. Primitivo, can give very alcoholic wines, but we're not Primitivo di Manduria. In the DOC Gioia del Colle, I mean, I will speak for our winery, the most alcoholic you will get for a Primitivo in our portfolio is 14 degrees, which still is pretty high. Alcohol helps aging. Second thing, acidity. As I was telling you before, the great thermic excursion we get gives good acidity to our wines. Acidity gives a chance for wines to age. And lastly, tannins. Primitivo and also Negramaro have beautiful tannins. Negramaro's tannins are more harsh, but always pretty round, pretty velvety, but there are tannins, you can taste them. Tannins are another thing that helps with aging. So there's lots of potential for aging, and our Vanitoso Primitivo Riserva I mentioned at the beginning is a clear example of it. Now we have the 2016 vintage, and I'm pretty sure you can taste it at least in 2036, 20 years from now, it will still have the same acidity, and you could barely tell it's a 20-year-old wine.
Mariana of Pietraventosa also grows Primitivo. And since it's in a different part of the region with a different climate, of course it tastes different. Here, she tells us more about the different expressions in terroir.
You can find different kind of expression of Primitivo going to the different wineries. This because the territory is a little bit different from which to the other. For example, in Turi, they can have more sugar concentration due to the fact that they are a little bit more close to the sea, 20 kilometers. We are in the heart of Puglia. We are in a 40 kilometer far from the sea, both the sea, Adriatic and Ionian Sea. And our kind of climate is different, but we have a little bit more excursion. So we don't have a sugar concentration very, very high. And for this reason, we don't have wine with high degree of alcohol. But we have acidity, a lot of acidity that help us to have wine that are a little bit different from the other. The territory is very important. I think that people have to taste all different kind of primitivo produced in our area in order to have their own particular emotion drinking the wine. Someone could prefer copy style to make wine, or someone prefer my style. I don't say that my wine or copy wine is better than the other. I say only that the territory change. We have different expression of primitivo due to the different kind of terroir that we have. That change a little bit, but primitivo is a grape that very quickly change its characteristics. For example, also in Manduria territory, we have another kind of primitivo. The mother is the same, but according to the different kind of territory, we have different kind of primitivo, and each winery has its own personality.
We are exactly in between most different areas vocated for primitivo, for example, with the Gioia del Colle area, and also with Castel del Monte, that is the land of Nero di Troia. And at the same time, on our back, we have the Aglianico del Vulture area. We are just 4 miles from the border with Basilicata and only 30 minutes by car from the Vulture volcano. It's a border area. And thanks God, all we find in our area, many of the most important indigenous grape that we have in Puglia, obviously primitivo, we have recovered in those 30 years old vines of Aglianico, Primitivo, and Nero di Troia. And the experiment with Nero di Troia is truly, truly successful. Even the clone that we have recovered and then the wine that we made with this clone is absolutely unique. It has a fantastic natural lively tannins. We do not use any oak with our Nero di Troia. It has also a great, great potential of aging, because despite we do not use any oak, just a couple of months ago, we had a vertical tasting with all the vintages of Nero di Troia that we have produced since 2004, and the wine is still growing and fantastic in bottle. I think that what is missing in Puglia about Nero di Troia is a serious clonal selection, because if we match the right clone of Nero di Troia, in my opinion, Nero di Troia is the next big thing from Puglia, because it is an absolutely wonderful, unique, and versatile red wine.
That last voice was Beniamino D'Agostino of Botramagno Winery, speaking about not using any oak in his wines. But some people absolutely use oak to enhance and deepen the flavors and complexity of the wines. Here's Marino, then Mariana again, speaking about the type of oak used and what flavors are imported to the final product.
Huge barrels, Slavonian oak that will give interesting hints, tertiary notes to the Primitivo. 6 months for our Don Antonio, 12 months for our Senatore, and 12 months for our Vanitoso Riserva. And the Vanitoso Riserva will get an extra 6 months aging in 234 liters French oak barrels, but the enologist style in our winery is giving very, very little taste of wood to our wines and keeping the original flavor of the grape as much as possible. So even if our wines, some of our primitivos will age in wood, you will get a very slight hints of wood in the flavor and in the nose. You will taste it, you will smell it, but it's just a hint.
We use barrels, French barrels of 300 liters, not smaller, because we find in this particular capacity the best expression of our wines. We use them for the Reserva in 18 months in the first passage, for Ossimoro, that is a blend of Primitivo and Aglianico, in the second passage for 12 months, and for Volere Volare for 12 months, but barrels of 300 liters too, of third, fourth, fifth passage. After bottling, we wait almost 2 years for Reserva, 1 year for Ossimoro, and 6 months for Volere Volare before start selling, because also we don't like, as Marino said, the taste of wood inside our wine. As I say every time, we don't sell furniture, we sell wine.
Now, how is that for a background in some of the grapes and styles of wine in Puglia? We've talked about white wines, red wines, use of oak. So, of course, we have to give a little love to rosés. They've grown in popularity and sales the past year all over the world. But the Italian style from Puglia isn't quite like what you're used to seeing all over the store shelves in the summer. Let's hear from our winemakers again about how they may or may not compare to the typical style and color of rosé.
In my opinion, rosé is probably the most difficult wine to do, especially in south of Italy, because we have grapes that immediately release the color to the juice. And also, I have to say, in the past, this wasn't a real problem, because we have the opportunity to sell our Apulian and Southern Italian rosé, I don't say easily, but more easily than now, all over the world, not caring about the color. Now the market is completely changed. The request is 90% on, the typical Provençal rosé, and the Apulian producer have to reinvent their rosé style. And the challenge was to balance between the color that the market is searching and the structure and the personality of the wines. Keep continuing in maintaining the style of Apulian Rosé. I think that after many years of trying and improving, most of the Apulian wineries have found the right balance. Always I talk about... for example, my personal experience in the United States. I have started doing the Rosé di Lulu, the Rosato dedicated to my daughter. Her name is Lulu. It's 100% Nero di Troia. And at the beginning was 14 degrees in alcohol Rosé, very dark in color. It's more similar to a Pinot Noir than a Rosé. And it was very, very, very difficult. A lot of people that taste it likes it, but was very, very difficult to sell. You think that in that time I sell about something like 100 cases of six in all U.S. market. Actually, we have the same structure in the wine, but we have changed the color, going on more pale style, and we sell something like 2006 pack cases a year in the United States. I believe that the wineries have to keep their style, but sometimes you have to follow what the market asks to you.
the interesting trend that is happening now with the rosé world, the preference towards a more province style color of rosé. What Copy Winery has done for adapt to this market trend? Because as Beniamino said, I mean, every winery must have its identity, but if you don't somehow adapt to market trends, I mean, it can be difficult. So we've always had in our portfolio a Negramaro rosé, but this year, for the very first time, we've made a new wine, an addition to our portfolio, a new rosé from Primitivo. And through a shorter maceration, we got to a more Provence style color, rosé, just to meet the market's requests, needs.
I understand that sometimes market ask for product in a particular kind. Personally, I don't follow the market request. I make wines in my style with the color for rosé that comes from, I don't adjust the color. The rosé has this color and I propose to the market this rosé. If the market won't, okay, I'm happy. But I think that we have not to lose our identity, making something that is not in our region typical, because it's important for us to preserve our identity. I prefer to maintain my identity with a rosé in this color, and I prefer to make educational to people to let them understand that the color is not important. The color is one of the things that made a wine. It's not so important. The important is that it is good, it's nice, is a very nice taste, not something that you don't like.
We've heard about the grapes, the growing conditions, aging, and oak. Now you know that when you see a Primitivo from Puglia, where it comes from and what goes into it. You will also want to look for Nero d'Utroia or request it at your local wine shop. And perhaps you'll even consider taking a trip to Puglia to visit some of these places for yourself. To help you out even more, because this is what I do for you, here are wine recommendations from everyone you heard in this episode. Vinicopi, try their Senatore. It's 100% Primitivo with hints of cherry, with good acidity and just a bit of pepper on the palate. From Pietra Ventosa, their Valere Valare, also Primitivo. Soft, well-structured, with aromas of spice and red fruits. And from Boltramagno, their Lulu Rosé, named after Beniamino's daughter. Bright and light pink in color, this wine is complex yet fruity, with nuances of like a cherry liqueur and mulberries. That was your crash course of some of the grapes and wines of the southern region of Puglia. In the next few episodes, we're going to highlight a few people that I had the pleasure of meeting and talking to about their projects around wine. I really think you'll enjoy it. A huge thank you to the contributors of this episode, Vinny Giancarlo Sessi, Vinny Coppola, Marino Palmarota of Vinny Copi, Mariana from Pietra Ventosa Winery, and Beniamino of Boltramagno Vigneti. And of course, everyone at Radici del Sud that made this possible. Follow the wineries on social media, and if you're ever in the region, definitely pay them a visit. Be sure to tell them you heard about them on Wine School Dropout Podcast.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Study Abroad episode of Wine School Dropout. This episode was produced by Studio Ochenta and hosted by me, Tanisha Townsend. Our executive producer is Lori Martinez. Our sound editor is Luis Raul Lopez Levi. Our theme was done by Gabrielle Dalmaso. Music is by Makai Beats. Our art is by Tiffany DeLune. Follow us at Wine School Dropout on Instagram. If you like the show, you should tell a friend about it and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, sit back, relax, and have a glass. Hi, it's Tanisha again. I want to tell you about a podcast called The History of Literature. It's a show that covers everything from the life and works of literary giants like Dickens and Tolstoy, to a series on the forgotten women of literature, to lighthearted topics like Friend, Marry, Kill, Shakespeare Edition, and the top 10 books you don't need to read. Each week, host Jack Wilson and his guests explore the most unusual, compelling, and inspiring stories from the world of literature. Always eager and never pretentious, Jack tackles every book as if it could change his life. And more often than not, it does just that. The History of Literature is brought to you by The Podglomerate. New episodes run every Monday and Thursday, and you can listen today by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this show.